Hey, you out there. You want some culturally concise commentary? You want some co-hosts who actually are authentic and real? And you can tell that they actually have some type of chemistry going on? You hate clout chasing? That's cool. I actually got something in mind for you. So keep listening. You'll find out.
This is Touchdowns with Tangents, your weekly spot for NFL takes, culturally concise, tangent, and context for the culture.
What's good, everybody? Ken Berry here, Touchdowns and Tangents. Another Thursday night. So I'm a little bit different. Pete's out doing techie stuff, frolicking from a PR perspective. So he got me. All right. Episode 293. I'm going to just cut straight to the chase. It's been a long week, surprisingly. And we'll just get straight to the news that broke out. So, Deshaun Watson, if you didn't know by now, well, he got suspended. Came down 11 games, $5 million fine. Pretty much didn't play all last year, but he got paid for all last year. So that $5 million fine doesn't really hurt much. And what's 11 more games when you already didn't play all last year? A lot of people say that's light. It kind of is. Apologize. I don't think you're going to appeal it. Probably wouldn't be the smartest thing to do anyway. Hopefully he learned his lesson. So if you're going to have like masseuses, you want something extra, like it's the NFL, you're a multimillionaire. You can hire one person to do all that. Hire one person to give you a massage and, you know, one person do something else. But to be that sloppy and just Tiger Woods-ish, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. And he's lucky that he's even still... lucky he's even still in the league, honestly. But, you know, thankfully, now this situation is resolved for the Browns. It's a PR nightmare. Journalist on Twitter was like, you guys should just resign. Like, the whole PR staff should resign. And I'm like, you know, sometimes no matter what you do in PR for a situation like this, anything you say is going to come out bad. You just have to, you know, pretty much act on good faith from here on out. I don't know much good faith the Browns have. But, you know, the owner, Jimmy Haslam, kind of said Deshaun Watson deserves a second chance. So this is his second chance. Do right by his teammates, himself, his loved ones, family. He'll even do right by Warrick Dunn. So... you know, the richest contract in NFL history. So that's a win for him. Hopefully he learned his lesson. But someone who did, you know, who has done it right by the book, and is also one of the best players at his position. All-pro safety, Derwin James, L.A. Chargers, signed a huge contract extension. It's 4 years, 4 years, $76.4 million contract extension, $42 million guaranteed. He's now the highest paid safety of all time, above Micah Fitzpatrick. I guess we'll find out how much Micah Hyde gets when he wants to negotiate his deal. He won't get as much as Derwin, but arguably he could probably fight for somewhere in the 40s, maybe, you know, 35 to 40. But we'll see how that goes with Buffalo. They locked up a lot of contracts. Now, kind of just, it's interesting because I feel like with the way the Chargers defense is looking, honestly, they pretty much just run nickel. I mean, you really just need Drew Tranquil and Kenneth Murray at the linebacker spots. Derwin James is pretty much your linebacker slash safety slash extra corner slash everything. So, realistically, they come out running nickel. Derwin James, you can move him kind of all over the place. So, it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, now that he comes in, hopefully he can stay healthy. You know, he got his money. Cats sit out for smart reasons, and he deserves to sit out, even despite the injuries. Some of the text messages I get are hilarious. So he sits out, he gets his money. Now that's a beautiful thing. And we just gotta see what the Chargers do. Now next one, Joe Burrow. Has been busy recovering. He had off-season surgeries. And he ruptured his appendix. So pretty much he probably won't play in the preseason at all. That's kind of huge for that offense. You know, him resting up and healing. As far as like, you know, the O-line really coming together, that's really what needs to mesh. Earl, you already know what you got. So there's no real point in, you know, him going out there and meaningless preseason games, risking injury. We've already seen cats tear ACLs. It's been all bad for a handful of people. So, I mean, especially, I remember I saw Jalen Hurts kind of get a nasty hit. Chicago Bears, poor Justin Fields, doomed to fail because they're an inept franchise. He took a, against the Chiefs last week, he slid, gave himself up, got hit, didn't get the call because, I mean, you know, he just didn't get the call even though he was the quarterback. They would give him the call, but we know how it is. You know, unless you're Brady. It's kind of stupid because once he retires, you're just not going to call roughing the passer when you should. It's weird. It's like because this generation of QBs is more athletic. They refs feel like they don't have to call roughing the passer as much. It's like, well, Kenny Pickett's not going to do that fake kneel down thing, break like a 60-yard touchdown. Like, that's not happening in the league. We all know that's not happening. So, you know, it's good for Burrow to kind of rest up because at first, you know, appendicitis and then actually rupturing your appendix are kind of two different things. Like, the second one is actually more dangerous. You can die from appendicitis. You're willing to get your, you know, willing to get it taken out versus like, oh, it burst. I have to get it taken out. So you definitely don't want to play with that. I remember Chris Sims, I think. He ruptured his spleen, almost never played again. He was never really the same after that. So injuries like that, internal injuries, you don't play with that. That's your body. All right. Now, on to some college football news. Hopefully you can't hear that, but I hope y'all can. So what we got here is, after the Big 12 turned down, you know, a huge deal. Yeah, the Big 10, after they turned down a huge deal with ESPN for broadcasting rights, they struck an agreement to distribution. They struck a distribution agreement with CBS, Fox, NBC, and NBC Universal's Peacock, as well as returning partners. the Big Ten Network and FS1. It's going to begin July 1st, 2023 and run through 2029-2030 season. Going to be rumored to be around $7 billion, which is huge because that's a huge TV deal, streaming deal. It's like you're going to be able to watch USC Michigan in the future on Peacock, WWE and stuff. So that's huge right there. And that solidifies USC's reason for leaving even more. The UCLA Regents meeting, them pleading their case why they deserve to leave the Pac-12 and go to the Big Ten. That's really going to be interesting because they are a public school. And it's more difficult for public schools. Private schools can kind of do what they want. It's huge. There's also some new college football rules that were tweaked for the upcoming season. So the AP, the Associated Press, shared the changes. Players ejected in the second halves of games for targeting might not be suspended for the first half of the next game, depending on the results of the appeal, which is good because that's a stupid-ass rule, and they already don't know how to call targeting in college anyway. In the NFL, URDs who are fast, athletic, and have much better technique, flying around knocking each other's heads off. But in college, you have dudes who are arguably even more athletic. Possibly, like, you got dudes who are playing line safety in college or dudes who became corners in college, and they're playing linebacker fast as hell. They're not necessarily in the NFL training program. They're still young kids learning how to play with freakishly ridiculous spark ratings and athleticism, just running with their heads on fire, knocking each other out, with not necessarily the intent to injure somebody, but with the intent to knock somebody out. And sometimes it's like there's no other play you can make unless you want to just hurt yourself trying to tackle somebody. So I'm kind of glad that they're not holding somebody out for the whole next game. And one thing, targeting was supposed to get rid of dirty hits, not penalize people for making a good play. Like, what else are you going to do? So, you know, there's that. The schools and conferences can report the potential faking of injuries to the national coordinator of officials, which could lead to penalties for the school involved. We've seen this in the Pac-12, the Big 12. I think Cal did it and got called out. I forget who they were playing, but like a lot of schools in the Pac-12 have like complained about it because teams are going up tempo and, you know, D linemen, DBs. You know, it happens in the NFL, dudes fake injuries, fake a cramp, you know, fake injury. And if they catch you faking an injury, like, yeah, you get caught, you should be penalized. There should be, you know, something, you know, situation that, like that that gets handled. That was totally accidental that I hit that button. But, hey. All right. So, the only linemen and stationary backs are allowed inside the tackle box can block below the waist. Going forward, ball carriers who simulate a feet-first slide, like then Pittsburgh QB Kenny Pickett famously in the AFC title game, they're going to be ruled down, as they should, because that's just cheating for the defenders. Like, putting them in an unfair position. Defensive holding is an automatic first down. In addition to a 10-yard penalty, replay officials can adjust the clock if a ruling is overturned with less than 2 minutes remaining in the game or the first half. Illegal touching by an eligible player is a loss of down in addition to the 5-yard penalty. Interesting. And perhaps the most notable change is the targeting one, obviously, because, you know, a lot of people get pissed off seeing that. So they need to keep tweaking that targeting rule because they don't have it perfected. And it'll cost some people, you know. Also, lastly, rest in peace to Luke Knox. He was 22 years old. Linebacker at FIU. He transferred after 4 years at Ole Miss. He was a tight end and transferred back to linebacker. and transferred from Ole Miss to FIU. Yes, Florida International linebacker, FIU. He was the younger brother of current Bills tight end Dawson Knox. He's 22. They haven't come out with, like, cause of death yet. So, it's just unfortunate. This isn't Sam Ellinger's little brother died a couple months ago. He was a linebacker at Texas. It's just a horrible situation anytime you hear something like that. So prayers up to the whole family. Sorry, I had to end that on a somewhat sad note. All right. All right. So, EA and the NFL have announced a multi-year renewal of their partnership that guarantees the continuation of their esports league, Madden NFL Championship Series. Now, obviously, EA and Madden came up with a deal earlier to extend it. Now they've extended their esports deal that's huge, billions of dollars in revenue potentially down the line. It's just something the smart thing to do. And plus, think of all the TikToks and rage quits that are going to happen online if people like couldn't play Madden online. Like, you couldn't get cussed out by some kid in Denmark about how much of a pussy you are and how you can't play Madden. It's probably some 7-year-old kid named Twitch Master or some shit. Just embarrass your whole family in Madden. So, hey, why not? Why not keep broadening those horizons? Zach Wilson, former BYU Cougar, all-time Cougar great, some might say. Some might call him the GOAT of Cougars. Who knows? It's up to you. He injured his MCL in a preseason game on a meniscus. Pretty much they had to grind out some of it. And that was damaged. So he's pretty much just going to stay off his feet until he's hopefully ready for week one. Hopefully he's healed up in like the next 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks. But it's ironic because Joe Flacco is going to be the starter, you know, when they go and play the Ravens. So Joe Flacco on the Jets versus his old team that he won the Super Bowl with and a guy he lost his job to, Lamar Jackson, who won a league MVP, is a better quarterback than him. So that should be really interesting. Deion Sanders says the Hall of Fame is watered down. Take simply is, he's right. But I want Deion to name some names. Who do you think isn't worthy of being in the Hall of Fame with you? I think you should say that rather than say, y'all watering it down now. Because a lot of these receivers deserve to get in. Now, it's one thing if you don't think some of these old-time dudes don't need to get in. It's one thing, I mean, some of the stuff he said, I'm like, I guess maybe he didn't believe Tony Boselli was a Hall of Famer. I don't know. You know, guys who had shortened careers but were great for a short amount of time, do they get in? Or whether guys who are great for longer just didn't quite hit. Like, Clinton Portis might not make the Hall of Fame, but he was one of the best backs of his era. I won't get the Hall of Fame, but was he a better player than Tony Boselli? Make the argument that Terrell Davis are like, yo, he shouldn't have been in the Hall of Fame because he didn't even play that long. But they're like, oh, he would have continued to have great success in Denver had he not torn up his knees. We'll never know that, but history would dictate that he would have continued being great. So it's interesting when you see these guys with shortened careers, but they're really great. Get in. Obviously, Gale Sayers is the first name that you think of. His knees got obliterated, but he scored 6 touchdowns in 1 game. Like, he was literally the greatest player on earth until he got hurt. and never got to play again. But modern era, how many of these guys who had to cut their career short are going to get in? I think Patrick Willis is a first ballot Hall of Famer. So is Luke Kuechly. Are they going to have to wait? I think Zach Thomas is a Hall of Famer. Is he going to wait? Or is he even going to get a chance to get in? But I think a lot of these guys who played in the last, like, between the years 2000 and, let's say, 2015, yeah, even 2010, I think a lot of players from that era who came in, like, in 99 or 98, left around 2012, a lot of those guys were Hall of Famers and one of the best of that era, and they're wrongfully getting left out of the discussion. But I also would love to hear Deion Sanders come out and say who he thinks really didn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, T.O. is the only one who goes out there and actually will say what's on his mind. Realistically, a lot of these guys just kind of like, they don't want to say nothing. But nah, I want to hear Deion say, hey, bro, that DB you let in the Hall of Fame really, like, because Asante Samuel feels like Darrell Revis isn't a Hall of Famer and that he's a Hall of Famer. He said, I got interceptions. That's the greatest metric of a DB. You got interceptions and you didn't get touchdowns thrown on you. Anybody can game plan to remove somebody from a game, but like, you didn't get no picks, which is a fair assessment against Darrell Revis, which is why Madden gave him like 38 hands. Shit was ridiculous. But yeah, I would just love to hear more about that. Love to hear more about that from Deion and other cats, like, but I don't think they're ever going to say it. So my issue is like, don't say that, but then don't name no names. You know, don't be like, say no names. Don't be like, don't shoot shots and then don't say no names. But anyway, on to the next. Touchdown to turnover, training camp, preseason fights. Outlets weren't even showing that there was like a huge brawl at the Panthers-Patriots joint practice. Punches were thrown. Cats might get cut because they were starting fights. People were getting kicked out of practice. It's not what you really want. The preseason. It's interesting to see what teams get in fights and what teams don't. What teams are notorious for fighting and what teams aren't. I'm going to say it's a turnover, though. Because for some of these coaches that are on the hot seat, like Matt Rhule, you can't really afford to have your players being undisciplined and starting fights against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. That's not a good look for you. Now, I enjoy a good old classic training camp fight, teams who are just bitter enemies. Like, if the Niners and the Raiders had joint practice and they just started fighting just because, like, we're the Niners and you're the Raiders, that might be like, okay, that was funny for a couple seconds, but, like, cut it out. But, like, I remember the classic Rams-Chargers brawl. It's Peters and Keenan Allen. It's like, all right, man, that's just a bunch of hotheads. Like, y'all got to cool it. Like, that's not cool. But apparently, like, some of these fights spilled out into the stands recently this past week. And obviously, you know, networks, media companies aren't going to show that because that's just not a good look. It's just bad PR for the league. It's bad for the brand. There's kids there. Nobody wants to see that. And I think in the society, we already see too much violence anyway. I don't want to see training camp fights. Unless somebody was talking big shit and got knocked out and everybody realized, well, that dude's actually a bully and he's a bitch, you know. Then it's like, okay, if that somehow leaks out, if it ends up on Hard Knocks, like, all right, cool. Kirk Cousins clarifies, if I die, I die comment in terms of getting COVID. He said it a while back, but, you know, he's pretty much just like, I'm going to live my life, do what I got to do. If I get COVID, I get COVID. You know, and he recently got COVID. That's why he missed the preseason game against the Raiders. Drew Locke, the Seattle Seahawks QB, he got COVID. People are still out here getting COVID. And this monkeypox shit is, I don't even know, man. But yeah, I would say he has the right to just, as long as he's not infecting anybody. But if you keep getting it and you're just like, you know what, I don't care, dude. That's your life. But getting other teammates infected, then that's a huge turnover. But touchdown for living your life on your terms. I mean, shit. I think Kirk Cousins needs to teach like a class in getting money from your boss or your company, because the dude is rolling. I need to know what he studied at Michigan State, because clearly he made all the right life choices. See, Lamar Jackson shutting down contract talks once the season starts. He'll be playing on his rookie deal. I think he's making like $25 million, which is interesting. Because imagine if Lamar Jackson didn't appreciate the way the Ravens were trying to lowball him, and he leaves and becomes the hottest free agent in NFL history. Like, who would be a who's a bigger free agent? Like, Lamar Jackson as a free agent QB would be up there with Reggie White and Deion Sanders. He would, like, instantly change your franchise. The only thing funnier would be, like, if he leaves, so the Ravens trade for Tua, and then the Dolphins end up signing Lamar as their QB. Imagine Lamar Jackson on the Miami Dolphins. With the receivers and tight ends and such. That line is kind of suspect still, but that'd be insane. I'm going to say it's a touchdown, though. I should have broke out the Brinks truck for this man. You traded his best receiver. You're putting all your money in your basket with Rashad Bateman and all these other dudes. When Greg Roman isn't an offensive, he doesn't really care about the vertical passing attack. He's not going to throw the ball 40 times a game, let alone 30. He leads the league in rushing almost every year as an offensive coordinator. If anything, like, I would want him to be the OC for the Chicago Bears to help out Justin Fields. That'd be a perfect place where he could be an offensive coordinator. Not for a team that clearly needs to spread the ball out. Like, the Steelers got Kenny Pickett and then got him three receivers. Calvin Austin III, George Pickens, who's already looking like a dog, looking like an alpha. He needs to change to number 14, though. Number 14 is a cursed number for wide receivers who play for the Steelers. Thank Lyman Swede. Bottom line is, like, the Ravens should have been had this done. They should have found a way. I don't care how. You pay Lamar whatever he wants. He doesn't get to pick his OC. He doesn't get to throw the ball more. You're making him use his legs, averaging like 1,200 yards rushing a season. Yeah, he has more strain on his body than any other QB. So you should just write, give him a blank check. And if the owner got to say, hey, we'll pay you this. I'll take out a loan. And pay you this on the side. Whatever you got to do to make it work, you make it work. So, yeah, that's that. I'm going to make my rant quick because I don't really have much to say this week. Work's been great. I'm going to get back on my gym routine like these past 2 weeks. Just kind of figure out my work schedule and, like, when I can hit the gym. And how I'm going to sleep and how I'm going to get my sleep in. It's been kind of a big deal for me lately. Because my body clock is, like, all over the place. But I got to buckle down and watch Hard Knocks. It's going to be interesting. Kind of wish HBO On Demand already had it planned. But they only have the Colts stuff going. So, got to wait. Peter will be back next week. Thank y'all for hanging in with me. Appreciate y'all. Episode 293. It's been good. Shout out to my nephew Isaiah. He is walking at an incredibly rapid pace. proud of him, proud of that kid. But it's also funny, like, when you have to check a 15-month-old because, like, they get too handsy. You know, that's fun. But anyway, salute to all y'all. Peace. Hopefully, I'm going to check this audio back, and hopefully it was good. If not, I'm going to be really fucking pissed off. But anyway, y'all stay safe out there. Peace, love, and hair grease. All that good shit. And, yeah, we out.
Touchdown!
This podcast is like...